Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Happy Monday and finishing out the last of summer, 2019. It becomes fall today. And every Monday in our 8 o'clock hour, we welcome Lenny McAllister, fresh off his talk show yesterday afternoon here on KDKA. And through the course of that show, the Charlie Kirk public service took place in Phoenix, Arizona. Over 90,000 people. They had auxiliary arenas. I mean, a very emotional and highly impactful day.
It was. Good morning, Larry. And again, I just got to admit, I said this yesterday on the air too. I get it, but for me, very personally, it's the shock that we all feel as far as seeing this killing so public. I mean, I heard somebody say over the weekend, how many different live streams there were of the shooting, because everybody, in the era of social media, everybody had their phone out while he was answering the question. So there's all these different angles of the shooting. So it's a very public event, and you know they have a billboard up going into the Squirrel Hill tunnels going east in memoriam of Charlie Kirk. So it's very public. A lot of people have emotions around it, and then it's still, for me, I still see the 17-year-old, and it's still. I thought maybe after 2 weeks that maybe I would, my perspective would shift. It has not. In fact, Michael Bartley filled in for Chris Moore yesterday, and he was talking about Charlie Kirk. It's in this awful, you know, the people he was with had a couple of friends that were at the event when he was shot. And I pulled out my phone. He said, did you know Charlie Kirk? I pulled out my phone. I said, look, and I showed him, here's Charlie's cell phone number. So it was like, yes. So I still and processing this, including the memorial service yesterday, in a very different way than probably most are.
So for those that don't know, you had a personal connection. You did meet Charlie when he was 17. So you knew him as he progressed, taken down at age 31. So you'd know him for basically half his life and his adult life, all of his adult life. That said, there were substantial number of people that didn't know who Charlie Kirk was until this incident. And then there was a very passionate group of others who followed him closely. And he was an ally. And Donald Trump said it was the young vote that helped him get reelected.
It was the young vote that won all seven of the swing states. And Charlie Kirk's influence. I mean, even if people didn't know who Charlie Kirk was directly, they felt his presence indirectly. I mean, without Charlie Kirk and Turning Point USA and kind of influencing the 18 to 30-year-old vote, particularly the young male vote that usually stays home and doesn't vote in any election, including presidential elections, Trump probably doesn't win. J.D. Vance, having him rise to the top, that a lot of that was a Charlie Kirk influence by way of him and his relationship with Don Jr. So there's a lot there that even if you didn't know who Charlie Kirk was, you kind of felt the gravity of what Charlie had started doing starting back in 2012 all the way through to now.
His wife, Erica, who will now be and has been named CEO of Turning Point USA, will continue his legacy. And obviously she spoke yesterday.
The answer to hate is not hate. The answer we know from the gospel is love and always love.
Moments later, President Trump took the stage and sounded a different note.
That's where I disagreed with Charlie. I hate my opponent. And I don't want the best for them. I'm sorry.
So there you have the two diametrically opposed opinions. And that's where a lot of people in this country sit, right there, in those 20 seconds.
And even more so, and this is probably a starker image, a lot of the people that we call neighbors and friends and definitely countrymen and women, they're able to process both of those messages. And for them, in some way, it makes sense. You can both hear Erica Kirk talk about love, and you can still also gravitate to what President Trump said. Now, there's also a segment of Americans that say, how do those two things that seem to be diametrically opposed make sense in how you live your life, how you vote, what policies you support? But that's the critical attribute of much of political America right now, is how you can take those two messages, one that's talking about love, I forgive him even though he killed my husband and took the father of my children away, versus I hate my opponent. How do you make them simpatico in a way that you feel good about yourself and the choices that you make in regards to who you support? That is going to be one of the historical questions that people looking back on this era are going to try to deduce and break apart 50, 60, 70 years down the road.
Many of the speakers, of which there were many, referred to they took away Charlie's voice. How do you feel about that, since as of today, we only know of one individual?
Unfortunately, it seems like it comes more out of the playbook than it comes out of the list of facts in this story. They're blaming a movement, whereas you can, there's always a movement, but there's always individual choice. There's always free will to act upon something, even if there's a movement or a school of thought that may influence you. I think it's very unfortunate. I think that in many instances it's irresponsible, because all it's going to do is further divide this country. And my fear is that even when Erica Kirk said this widow's cries are going to sound, and I'm paraphrasing, like a rallying cry around the world, that's less about grieving and let's keep the message of what Charlie was trying to do in regards to talking to others in place. And it's more along the lines of drawing a line in the sand and opposing those that we want to oppose. And the truth is, and people forget about this, we're all still Americans. You know, if we're fighting against each other, we're more vulnerable to terrorist attacks on American soil. We're more vulnerable to Russia being more aggressive, which they're being in Europe now. We're more vulnerable to not having peace in the Middle East, which destabilizes our peace. All of these things are tied together from a national sovereignty perspective. And even in tragedy, we have to keep that in mind, especially if you have a national platform, to make sure that you pivot people to a higher sense of morality, but also a higher sense of what we need as a nation.
We're with Lenny McAllister on the Big K Morning Show. More coming up next.
Linmar Terrace residents and others from Aliquippa want answers and evidence in the fatal police shooting of an 18-year-old last week during a joint investigation. We'll have an update that's coming up in 11 minutes on The Voice of Pittsburgh, News Radio KDKA.
Thanks, Paul. Trending with T. T's off today. Hopefully back with us tomorrow. In the meantime, we continue our conversation with Lenny McAllister, one of our resident political analysts. So, Lenny, in the midst of the gravity of emotion of yesterday, we are expecting President to address the nation at some point today about what he feels is a breakthrough in autism. And then a more political conversation, if that's not political enough, considering RFK Jr., is this from CBS, Willie James Inman.
President Trump is publicly putting pressure on the Department of Justice and Attorney General Pam Bondi. In a post on Truth Social, the president said, "What about Comey, Adam Shifty Schiff, Letitia? They're all guilty as hell, but nothing is going to be done," adding, "Justice must be served."
It's an effort to try to silence and intimidate people, but I refuse to be silenced or intimidated.
The president's demand is drawing criticism from both sides of the aisle.
We need to get politics out of the judicial system as much as we can.
In a shakeup within the DOJ, Trump says he will nominate senior White House aide and former personal defense attorney Lindsey Halligan as the top prosecutor for the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Eastern District of Virginia. Eric Siebert, who was serving in the role, was pushed out Friday after failing to move forward with a mortgage fraud case against New York Attorney General Letitia James.
She looks like she's very guilty, but that's going to be up to the DOJ.
Also this weekend, new pushback on the use of masks by federal agents.
We're not North Korea, Mr. President. We're not the Soviet Union. This is the United States of America.
California Governor Gavin Newsom on Saturday signed a bill into law banning most local and federal law enforcement officers from wearing masks while on duty.
ICE, unmask. What are you afraid of?
The new California law goes into effect on January 1st of next year, but the White House is expected to fight the move in court. Willie James Inman, CBS News, the White House.
So, Lenny, how do you react?
A lot of different reactions. First thing I did, Larry, is I wrote down two names, Rand Paul and Ted Cruz. And over the last several days, both of them have been critical of this administration. Rand Paul, as you well heard, hey, we need to get, you know, politics out of the Justice Department, politics out of the administration of justice. We need law and order that's balanced and fair. You've heard Ted Cruz, you know, speak out against the FCC and Brendan Carr and the whole situation of Jimmy Kimmel. But the reason why I wrote down these two names is because they were shocked and horrified after January 6, 2021, but there were not enough Republican votes in the Senate to convict for impeachment, which probably would have disqualified Donald Trump for the presidency the second time around to do the very things that these two men are now criticizing him for. And this is probably the frustration that people that are not MAGA Republicans have with this version of the Republican Party, which is you complain when you have the power, you complain about what you don't like and what you don't see, but when you had the opportunity to push back and proactively protect people so that we have a sense of decorum, you didn't do what needed to be done. So I understand what Rand Paul is saying. I agree with what he's saying. I understand what Ted Cruz was saying in regards to the FCC and the Jimmy Kimmel situation. But they resonate to many, many Americans as simply hollow words when we're years down the path where something that could have been done should have been done, and the guardrails or the ebb and flow of what could have been done to keep Donald Trump on a...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
On a more traditional track for the presidency hasn't been done again. I mean, the quote-unquote bill from July got passed because these two individuals voted for it. I mean, Rand Paul had some pushback, obviously, with it, but it still got through. You know, that could have been enough to knock Donald Trump down a little bit and knock the administration down a little bit to say, listen, we are equal branches of government. We're going to work together. You're not going to dictate to us. You can't advocate responsibility and then complain that you don't have any power when you had power and you gave it away.
All right. That said, you mentioned something else in terms of controversy. The president would tell you, and I've heard him say, well, the Democrats weaponized the judicial system first. So this is just retribution for what they did to me.
Two wrongs don't make a right. I mean, and look, people forget that there was a time during the Obama administration the IRS went after Tea Party groups. And they were 501c3 organizations that were doing political speech, and they were doing it in a way where they were speaking out against the Obama administration. They were speaking out at a time where the Great Recession was still, you know, deeply entrenched in everyday American life, and the IRS was weaponized. They had shown that. This was in, and people forget about this because we have very short memories as Americans, but if you start looking at, you know, 2010 going into the midterms, 2011, 2012, 2013 going into the other midterms of 2014, these were things that transpired. Now, does that mean we want another president going in the opposite direction? No. And actually, Larry, what I think it's going to mean post-Trump, I would venture to say that the next American president after Trump is going to be severely weakened, because I think that the American people, I think the courts, and I think our legislature is going to make sure that you do not have a president that is able to wield power like this as unilaterally as Donald Trump has. I think one of the legacies coming out of the Trump presidencies is going to be a much weaker presidential office for probably 20 years.
Yet the Supreme Court emboldened the position.
Yes.
Why would it change after?
Because the Supreme Court adjudicated based on a belief that there's going to be some restraints from the president, that there's going to be an obligation to the traditions, the constitutional traditions, the presidential traditions that we've had in this country for almost 250 years. And what we have seen from Trump part two is that these things really don't matter. And I think that subsequent to that, the voters are going to vote for something different. I think the congressional leaders are going to push for something different. And I think that when it gets to the courts after Trump, the courts are going to react different.
Lenny McAllister with me this hour, every Monday on the Big K Morning Show. All right, Lenny. What is there left? What do you want to talk about next?
We got to get into Jimmy Kimmel.
Big K Morning Show, Larry Richard with Lenny McAllister, every Monday at our 8 o'clock hour. So it's been a week. On Monday night, that Jimmy Kimmel in 13 seconds may have ruined his current career.
He hit some new lows over the weekend with the MAGA gang desperately trying to characterize this kid who murdered Charlie Kirk as anything other than one of them and doing everything they can to score political points from it.
And then a conversation that started with the FCC. The chair spoke out, number of people spoke out. Some advertisers and some of their main distribution companies spoke out. It took a day, and then Wednesday he didn't make it on the air and hasn't been on since and doesn't feel like he will ever come back on network television. That said, it's opened up this great debate on what is free speech, what isn't.
There's so many things to unpack with this. I mean, first of all, and you and I were talking about this and making everybody jealous on the live stream when we were on commercial break, because we have very spirited conversations when we're not on the air as well, because that's just what we do. But number one, what Kimmel said, and I said this on my show yesterday, it wasn't funny. It wasn't appropriate. It fell flat. It was inconsistent. It was unnecessary. It was callous. It was crude. If he felt that way, that was something he should have said at the kitchen table in his house. There's no way he should have gone in front of a stage and said that. And even if he did, he should have immediately said, okay, that's not exactly how I feel. But it apparently was, because he said it and kept on going with it. That said, there could have been consequences for him saying that. If advertisers apply the pressure and ABC and the distributors take him off the air as a result of their own accord, I think universally people would have been applauding that and saying, Kimmel shouldn't have said that. It was the wrong message. It was inaccurate. And it definitely was the wrong time to have a strong opinion like that. Where this becomes problematic is when the FCC, which is part of the Trump administration, gets involved. And I know people say you have free speech, but you don't have freedom away from your consequences. The issue is the freedom of speech that is protected in the Constitution says that government shall not infringe upon freedom of speech. And when government directly or indirectly implies any type of barrier to free speech, And in this instance, one could make the case that that barrier is, we're going to threaten to pull your license, ABC, if you don't do something about it, to infringe the free speech. Now you start going into this gray area where you're saying, okay, well, it's not a direct saying you can't say this, but it's an indirect way to infringe upon free speech. Now, ironically enough, President Trump also said later on in the week, you know, there's so many stories that come out and over 90% of them are negative about me, you know, and they take things, and even if there's a good thing, they report the bad thing. And, you know, things like that, if they're either twisting facts or misrepresenting facts, or they're talking about other facts versus the good things, I think that should be illegal. And use the word illegal. So now you're saying opinion making on television, which is most of the news these days, sir, some of that, the ones that he doesn't like, should now be illegal? This all ties together, and people that are trying to parse it missed the greater point.
If you look at any network news, and I put news in quotes,
yeah,
because a lot of people don't understand that it's tied to a political opinion in many cases. Fox leans right, they say CNN
especially cable
left.
News, especially
all
cable
of those
news
network, CBS, that got in trouble with 60 Minutes. They're all under scrutiny right now.
Yes.
And what people need to understand is the Federal Communications Commission monitors the licenses granted by the FCC to these over-the-air networks. They don't have an impact, at least now, on what people do on the internet. So you can say a lot more on the internet, but you are, under the FCC, obligated to certain requirements. And then, of course, to your company and their supporters, you know, your commercial partners.
And part of the problem, though, is if we're going to start picking and choosing winners and losers in regards to what can be said, what you can apologize for, and what's, you know, unforgivable. For example, Brian Kilmeade was on Fox News about a week ago, about 10 days ago, and Lawrence Jones III was saying, you know, these homeless individuals, going back to the case, the situation in Charlotte with the tragic stabbing on their subway system there, even though it's not really a subway, to sit there and say, you know, these homeless folks, they're going to have to either accept our help or we're going to have to incarcerate them because they can't just be out there harming people. And Brian Kilmeade said, and if they don't want the help, maybe they just sign up for involuntary, you know, lethal injection. Now, he was given the opportunity to go on the airwaves and apologize for basically saying, if homeless people won't accept our help, we're just going to have to kill them. That was deemed as, okay, you can apologize for that and get back on the airwaves. Jimmy Kimmel is seen as being an unforgivable act. Now, I'm not comparing what Kilmeade said versus the assassination of Kirk, but if you're going to start parsing out some networks, some personalities get second, third, fourth chances, and some get canceled immediately. This is literally the same thing that conservatives complained about with cancel culture 15 years ago, just flipped on its head.
Where do you think we go from here?
I think it's going to get worse before it gets better. I think we're going to dive worse next year at our 250th birthday, because I think we're going to redefine patriotism. And I do believe after the Trump presidency, I think there's going to be a recalibration where the presidency is weaker. I think people are going to want to be more involved. And it will be interesting to see if the electorate finally starts gravitating towards candidates that actually want to unify people. And I mean genuinely unify people, not what we call unification. I mean, people will say that the Kirk Memorial yesterday was unifying, but as you pointed out multiple times, Larry, if you're blaming they for shooting and killing Charlie Kirk, and it was only one hand and only one gun, but you continuously talk about it in the plural, that's not unifying. Maybe we'll start getting to statesmen, maybe we'll start getting statesmen and stateswomen, maybe we'll start getting to leaders, maybe we'll start getting to public figures and public officials that actually are good at really unifying people, including people they don't necessarily like.
Coming up, I want to ask you about, apparently, Elon Musk is back.
calls for accountability and transparency in Aliquippa after last week's shooting death of 18-year-old Kendrick Curtis during a joint law enforcement operation.
Community leaders have asked for patience as more information comes out here. Some have asked for more information now, though. One of the organizers also asked for police to reveal body cameras.
And I think we'll hear more about the details. There's not been a lot released on this just yet.
In Arizona,
during an emotional tribute, Erica Kirk told thousands of mourners she forgives the man accused of killing her husband, conservative activist Charlie Kirk.
The answer to hate is not hate. The answer we know from the gospel is love and always love.
Erica Kirk, who is now CEO of her late husband's organization, Turning Point USA.
They had over 90,000 people in the arena in Phoenix and then some auxiliary places, too.
Mm-hmm. And Steelers cornerback Brandon Echols came up huge in Sunday's win over the Patriots.
He made some big plays today, the interception, the fourth down tackle. He was engaged in the game. He is a good teammate, and I'm glad we got him.
I'm glad we got him, too. He kind of saved the game at the end.
I mean, they were short on cornerbacks there for a while yesterday, right?
Yeah. And the interception.
Yes.
And the interception.
Yep. And 4-for-4 on fourth downs at that point, and it looked like New England was rolling to tie the game late.
Yeah,
and
he shut it down on that play.
Fourth down, he shut it down.
And others making big contributions. You got to mention Cam Hayward and T.J. Watt and Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, good to get on the road again, only it's odd because they'll be in Dublin, but they'll be the home team on Sunday against the Minnesota Vikings, and they'll be tens of thousands of Pittsburghers headed there.
The terrible towel travels everywhere, as you well know.
It's green for this one.
That should be interesting.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, as they celebrate Myron Cope's 50th anniversary of creating the terrible towel.
Yoy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland. You know, the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.